Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Pfaudler Third Quarter Results Analyst Conference Call. We have with us on the call today Mr. Ejaz Tobakkowala, Managing Director, and Mr. S. Sridhar, Finance Director. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ejaz Tobakkowala. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q1 2014-15 results call for Pfaudler Limited. As per our prior practice, we will also discuss the Q1 2014-15 results for Wyatt Limited. As both the companies are still run as two listed entities and the merger process is still underway, we will discuss the performance of both companies separately. In this respect, we will first share with you Pfaudler Limited performance for Q1, take up questions related to Pfaudler Limited, and then on completion of that, we will discuss the performance for Wyatt Limited. I would request you to ask questions related to Pfaudler Limited only in the first session, and as we discuss Wyatt results, we'll be happy to answer all questions relating to Wyatt at that time. We have scheduled this joint call only for the sake of convenience, as you guys have requested on multiple occasions. I hope that by now you've seen our published results, and I have with me on this call Sridhar, our Finance Director. Let me sort of take you through the broader India pharma market numbers, and then I'll turn it over to Sridhar to discuss our specific results. The India pharma market, or IPM, has a growth of MAT through June 2014 at 9.4% as per IMS data. Pfaudler Limited, again, as per IMS data for the same period, is being reflected at 6.3% growth, and the MNCs in general are at about 3.9% growth. The industry size is 82,311 crores, and Indian company growth is higher than the MNCs and is being reflected at about 11.6%. Talk a little bit about particular TAs. The anti-infective or AI market, which constitutes almost 15% of the market, is unfortunately growing at just about 1.2% and contributing to the overall slow growth of the industry. The anti-diabetic space, in contrast, continues to reflect a strong growth of 17.8%. The remaining TAs all are reflecting a growth somewhere within the 8% to 12% range and more reflective of the overall market. As you all may well be aware, the government has issued a notification effective April 1, 2014, that companies can take a price increase of 6.3% for all products that have been brought under price control for the first time in DPCO 2013. Accordingly, we have taken that price increase as was allowed by the NPPA. In addition, on July 10th of this year, the NPPA issued an order bringing cardiovascular and diabetes products of specific companies under price control in a sudden move. Consequently, the price on our end of Minipress XL and AmloGard, an additional SKU of AmloGard, have been reduced. The NPPA, in its order, said that they'd widened the scope, or we believe they've widened the scope of price control, citing public interest. The notification, unfortunately, indirectly hints at progressive expansion of such price controls to other areas, which could severely impact pricing predictability and certainly hurt the industry. They have already indicated six additional TAs that they are going to be targeting, but there is no clarity whether it will extend even further. With this notification, it seems that the NLEM may have no relevance going forward, as this is a way to add additional products outside of the NLEM realm. The industry and we have expressed our complete surprise at such an arbitrary step. I think terming it as harsh, unfair, and honestly a pretty retrograde step in our opinion. While we've been certainly conducting robust advocacy with various government department and ministries trying to understand the rationale for such a surprising move, especially without consultation with the industry, We are also working closely with our representative associations on what the alternate options might be. To change topics anew on the broader Wyeth and Pfizer merger, the merger process is on course. We have filed a petition with the Honorable Bombay High Court end of April 2014. There has been a delay in admission of petitions by the Bombay High Court, primarily due to a large backlog. We are happy to inform you that as per the appearance on the FIPB website, our proposal for issue of shares to the shareholder of Wyeth Limited pursuant to the scheme of amalgamation has been approved. We are waiting for the formal approval letter in this regard. I'll conclude over there and turn it over to Sridhar to discuss our specific results. Sridhar?
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Most of us have seen the results. Just a snapshot of it. The results per se are not comparable because of the animal transactions which sit through in the previous quarters. As you all know, we continue giving them transaction support services, which ranges from supply of products to some services. You'll have these challenges till about another two more quarters, and we come to quarter four, it becomes a like-to-like comparison. So till that point of time, I will take efforts to explain you without the animal impact for us to understand the results better. So the top line, though it has seen a 1% top line growth, which will look disappointing on the face of it, but there has been about 19 odd crores of sales to animal health the same period last year. If I knock that off, the pharmaceutical performance about 10%, which is pretty decent given the market environment currently today. I'll talk more specifically about product portfolio later, but on a headline, at 10% is pretty top line growth of pharmaceuticals. More importantly, the profit from operations, that is prior to bank interest or other income, reflects a very strong 40% growth in the quarter, from a 60 crores to about 43 crores, 60 crores. Primarily because same period last year, we had some VRS for about 9 odd crores, which paid wages and employees, which is no longer there. Our expenses in the current quarter are lower, and also material cost, if I knock off animal health thing, it's about 5 odd crores. The EBITDA margins have improved 26% from 19% last year. And even if we add back the VRS of 9 crores, it will move from 23% to 26%. The profit before tax looks low at 4%. That's predominantly because of the drop in other income, the interest income, about by 21 crores. We paid off a significant amount of dividend that wiped off our bank balance to some extent there. And as a result, interest income is also lower. So therefore, my recommendation is as you look at our results going forward also, look at business from operation as a better indicator of growth rather than PAT line or PAT line. Okay. Looking specifically at product performance, the 10% growth which comes in the back of good performance across all our category of products. Except for Corex, which is facing some regulatory issues in quite a few states, and Chalusil, which has slowed down in this quarter slightly, and Amlogard. These are only three products, and Magnex to some extent. Rest of the products have seen a good, strong growth. But the other operating income of the quarter is over 3 crores, basically because the animal health transition support is scaled down, and that is what is driving us lower other income. The material cost, which is sitting there, has got element of animal health transaction in it. So therefore, on the face of it, you are not able to see it very clearly. If I knock that off, then material cost will be around 34.1% in quarter one versus 32.4%, increase about 1.7%. That's primarily because of the new pricing policy impact likely on our sales reduce. So therefore, the ratios go for it. And some cost increases in a few products that you had and brand mix. The employee benefits, the staff cost current quarter about 50 odd crores versus 60 crores last year. Primarily because, like I said, last year had a VRS package of about 9 odd crores. That is what is driving it. Otherwise, employee benefit is more or less the same. As you all know, April 1st, the company's bill kicked off. And there's a requirement of looking at depreciation policy as for new companies act. We made that assessment. And we have taken a write-off of about 22 lakhs in the current year in the P&L, and about 29 lakhs we adjusted in the reserves to comply with the Companies Act. Other expenses, current year 72 crores, was 75 crores same period last year, basically because we have lower expenses this quarter in advertisement costs, clinical trials and freight. All three expenses are lower, and so you're seeing that thing there. Like I said, other income is over 21 crores, nothing but the bank interest, which is lower there. And that was flows into the profit before tax impact. We see only like about 4% increase. That's basically because of the bank interest low. Yeah. So that's a question on financials. I have happy to take on any questions. Like I said, the better way to look at our results is business operations, which is predominantly from our sales and our expense lines, rather than a PBT line, at least for the next few quarters, till such time we start getting our base compact. Okay. Happy to take on any questions on financials of Pfizer or on the business of Pfizer Limited. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. The first question is from the line of Nikunj Doshi from Bay Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Nikunj Doshi from Bay Capital. Wanted to understand how many new products that you launched in the current year, or what is the plan going forward for the new product launches?
So we haven't launched any new products this year. As we've indicated in the last couple of calls, we've been sort of making sure that we've trimmed our new launch portfolio to be more in line with what we are actually have our focus on, rather than just looking at the sheer new product launches. A lot of that has to do with sort of the profitability associated with some of these products. So this year we've been focusing on our core products and making sure that they tend to grow. In terms of future, we continue to assess what might make sense. And I think as and when they get released, I'm sure we'll be talking about them.
And as per the new, again, drug authorities planning to put price control on new drugs, CV and other segments, what will be effect, if that, on Pfizer if that comes into force? And what is this trend? I believe industry is also challenged the order and all that. So what do you think will happen going forward on that?
As to what will happen going forward, I think your guess is as good as mine, right? I mean, we're obviously very concerned about what was used, the Paragraph 19 that was used, which is for exceptional circumstances. And I think what we're trying to understand is sort of what's changed in the marketplace between last year to this year to have warranted an exceptional circumstance issue. In terms of impact on Pfizer, with what has currently been announced, two of our products, Minipress and Amlogard, have a price reduction associated with it, and the impact for that is about 10 to 15 crores on an annualized basis. In terms of how far this will go going forward, as I said in my earlier remarks, I mean it's a little bit unsure, right? And that unpredictability is obviously of concern to us. There are six additional therapeutic areas that they have mentioned that they will be looking at as part of this process, but there is no indication whether they will stop at those six or potentially go forward even more.
And when do you think this Wyeth merger will go through?
So we expect by around mid to end November.
Okay. And once the merger is through, will there be any unlisted operational subsidiary of Pfizer or Wyeth remaining in the market, or all the businesses will be under one umbrella?
There is currently one unlisted subsidiary, and that will remain.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And all
the next question is from the line of Ranjit Kaparia from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
So my question relates to Bicozules. Can you quantify what is the growth rate? And the second question relates to the Corex. You mentioned that we are facing regulatory issues, so if you can elaborate a little bit on that.
So, hi Ranjit.
Hi.
Corex, the issue is predominantly schedule H1 implementation, Ranjit, across the country. As you know, schedule H1 requires the retailers, the chemists, to maintain track record of all the prescription what they are the customers are bringing in terms of the name of the doctor, the patient name, address, telephone numbers, etc., in a register form. And that is also moving, authorities are moving towards also track and trace for stockist level also. So Codex, as you know, has always been a challenge in terms of regulatory authorities, the record maintenance, etc. And this kind of scrutiny has reduced the purchases by stockists and chemists to some extent there. So that's what is impacting us in some states. Okay.
And can you quantify Becozis, what was the growth?
Becozis growth is, we have had a reasonable growth this quarter. It's strong double-digit growth. That's predominantly because the period last year was subdued given the trade schemes the previous year before that. And last year was subdued. Therefore, in comparison to that, growth in the current quarter looks good. Strong double-digit.
And now we have succeeded in converting Corex users to Corex DX.
Yeah, so actually, Ranjit, our Corex users are doing very well at this stage, certainly. And it's both. It's a conscious effort, right? I think what we are trying to do, what we've been trying to do for a while, is make sure that our prescribers know that we have a non-codeine formulation available if they were to choose to use it, right? But our thought process obviously is that we want to make sure that choice remains in the marketplace, right, for the doctor and the patient to make their choice.
And consciously, Ranjit, what you've done is, like we told you last time, we have put Corex DX in the hardcore prescribing respiratory team versus Corex with a great team. So the approach is different, the teams are different, and the focus is different.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Wish you all the very best.
Thank you, Ranjit.
The next question is from the line of Amit from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, you mentioned that the impact of the new order from the NLEM NPPA would be 10 to 15 crore on annualized basis. So the impact is on sales or on PAT?
It will flow into the bottom line straight away.
Okay. And one more question is that would there be any, the EBITDA margin would be maintained at this particular level for the following quarters, or there would be a fluctuation in the
figure? No, I think we are happy with the current EBITDA margin. We should be able to hold it, except the pricing control, if it comes in, in different way. The full price control on cardiovascular has not taken effect in this quarter. It will start coming into impact next quarter onwards. That's one. And if any more therapeutic area are brought into control, then that's a variable we don't know. But if the business as usual, we should be able to maintain the current EBITDA ratio on a standalone basis.
The question was asked because last year in FY14, the EBITDA margin on quarterly basis was pretty fluctuating.
Yeah.
Was it the function of some drugs coming under? Because I believe apart from Amlocard, you were not affected. So was there any seasonality associated with the different therapeutic areas which affected the profitability in different quarters?
No, last year we had animal health also a number, so it's not really comparable. Animal health fluctuates on our EBITDA margins there. So hence you'll have to rely on my offline data on EBITDA margin, removing animal health out. I'll have to bear with you for next two more quarters. Then you come to the fourth quarter onwards, you'll find actually a comparison.
Okay. And lastly, what is the current field force strength?
So currently within Pfizer Limited, we've got a field force of close to about 2,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, it's from Nikhil Upadhyay from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Basically, two questions. One is on the material cost. The reason why I'm asking, so Sridhar sir just explained that there is a bit of animal husbandry cost also in the material cost. But prior to that, if I see our gross margins or material costs used to be around 35-36%. But last year in FI, from March 13 to December 13 onwards, it was around 40%. So a major impact was mainly because of animal husbandry, or can we associate that?
So basically, our average is around 35, you rightly said. Even the current quarter also, if I knock off animal health, it comes to about 34%.
Okay.
And last year, put in a factor of the new pricing which came into play, all that thing there. And animal health and everything put together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, and in other expenses, so we were providing some supports, sales in terms of CSA to the animal health business also.
Yeah.
But in other expenses, was there any quantum of that included, or it's mainly, most of it gets reflected in the material cost?
No, it's there across all lines. It is there in my sales, it's there in my material and in our expenses.
Okay. And second, sir, you explained in Bicosul that last year, because we had deliberately reduced our promotions and in order to get the stable state of sales in Bicosul, and spillover effect has been seen in this quarter when the sales growth for Bicosul has been much higher. But on a stable state, how do you see a normalized Bicosul sales can be? Like,
Sorry, I need to clarify what is being said. I said last year quarter was a subdued quarter,
yes,
because year before that was a scheme period. Okay, therefore last year was a very subdued quarter.
Yeah.
On a subdued quarter, when I compare current year sales, it seems to be growth. Other than current year sales, what we have is fairly normal. Okay? Yeah. So current year, our sales are pretty normal. Only the growth looks vitiated because if you are comparing to the subdued quarter last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, we now conclude the Pfizer first quarter results analyst conference call.